जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरवर धारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना थीर वनचारी यमुना थीर वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरवर धारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना थीर वनचारी यमुना थीर जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी 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 ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ ज्ञानतिमरन्दस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. I was born in the darkest ignorance. My spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yeah.
Can I just intervene?
Sure.
This lady right here, she's crying and crying. Her mother got cancer, so she's asking if we all can chant one time, pray for her. So.
Sure, let's do that together, yes.
Let us chant together so her mother can get
some speedy recovery by Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare
Rama, Hare Krishna. So I thank you so much for letting us know. Today we're looking at Canto 3 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 21, Conversation Between Manu and Kardama. And it's text number 17, and it's up there on the screen. Yahoo. Okay. Lokangscha lokanugatang pashungscha. Hitva shritaste charanata patram. Charanata patram. Parasparam tvad gunavad siddhu Piyush niryapita deha dharma Siddhu Lokangscha lokanugatang padungstra etva shritaste charanata patram parasparam tvatkuna siddhu piyusha nirya pita deha dharma lokamstha kanugatam pushamstha etva shritaste charanata patram Vaishnavis. Lokangscha lokanugatang pashungscha etva shritaste charanata patram parasparam tvat gunavad siddhu piyush niryapita deha dharma. Anyone else? Okay. Lokan, worldly affairs. Cha, and loka anugatan, the followers of worldly affairs. Pashun, beastly. Cha, and hitva, having given up. Shrita, taken shelter. Te, your. Charana, of lotus feet. Atapatram, the umbrella. Parasparam, with one another. Tvat, your. Guna, of qualities. Vada, by discussion. Siddhu, intoxicating. Piyusha, by the nectar. Niryapita, extinguished. Dehadharma, the primary necessities of the body. Translation. However, persons who have given up stereotyped worldly affairs and the beastly followers of these affairs and who have taken shelter of the umbrella of your lotus feet by drinking the intoxicating nectar of your qualities and activities and discussions with one another can be freed from the primary necessities of the material body. Let's repeat that. However, persons who have given up stereotype worldly affairs and the beastly followers of these affairs and who have taken shelter of the umbrella of your lotus feet by drinking the intoxicating nectar of your qualities and activities in discussions with one another can be freed from the primary necessities of the material body. Purport by Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Would you like if we could charade it out? Would that be okay? Is that fun? I like to do that. Okay. Okay. Okay, just look this way. After describing the necessity of material life, Kardama Muni asserts that marriage and other social affairs are stereotyped regulations for persons who are addicted to material sense enjoyment. The principles of animal life, and defending, are actually necessities of the body, but those who engage in transcendental consciousness, giving up all the stereotyped activities of this material are freed from social conventions. Conditioned souls are under the spell of material energy or eternal time, past, present, and future. But as soon as one engages in consciousness, he transcends the limits of past and present and becomes situated in the eternal activities of the soul. One has to act in terms of the Vedic injunctions in order to enjoy material life. But those who have taken to the devotional service of the Lord are not afraid of the regulations of this material world. Such devotees do not care for the conventions of material activities. They boldly take to that shelter, which is like an umbrella against the sun of repeated birth and death. Hare Krishna. There's another paragraph. Apparently, it's going to be presented tomorrow. So stay tuned. Cliffhanger. Haribol. Namo Om Shri Padai Krishna Pustai Bhutare. Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tanamani. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini. Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschacheri Shatarini. Jai. So this is a conversation between Kardama Muni and Manu. And the theme here today is about conversion. It's about a change, a transformation. I believe that's why we come to Krishna consciousness. we go to someone who knows more than us so that we can have some transformation. We can have some healthy change, wholesome and healthy change. Okay, so there's no great details delivered here in the purport as to what we're talking about, sense enjoyment, but I think we all understand good old-fashioned Maya, you know? There's two types of Maya, and one is real and one is unreal, and the one that we think is real is actually unreal. No. We quoted that verse, prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha. Just like when you think you're controlling the material nature, it's the opposite, it's controlling you, right? So stop thinking you're God, it doesn't work. We've tried it quite a few times, like many lifetimes. And to put it in plain English, it ain't working. Never did, never will. Yes. So this attempt to extract pleasure is natural because we have desires. It's a component of our very being, our very existence. We are because we desire. We desire, and therefore we are. Right? The other way around, too, I guess you could say. But what has to come to proper terms is... let me explore the real pleasures of life. And the real pleasures of life go deeper. It's not just on the surface. It's something that's that goes beyond ahara, nidra, maitani, etc., and defense. And Srila Prabhupada has given us those four kind of like principles of life many, many times over. I think we all love to eat. There's nothing better than a fantastic veggie burger offered to Krishna. Maybe you all have your choices. But when it's prasadam, it's really special. A pizza can be nice when it's done Italian style. Don't put jeera in it. You might be daring and put some pineapple pieces in there. Hare Krishna. But the Italians won't like it. Okay, and as far as mating goes, Krishna says, I am this principle, but which is within the realm of Dharma. There are some, there's controls here. You know? We're living in the world where there's no controls. Just do whatever you, be an animal, basically. Be an animal. And we already were. So why try to do something superficial? Be a human, and being a human means to cultivate your spiritual side. I remember on the first walk I did across Canada, I was in this one small town, and they had two newspapers, and the two journalists came at the same time, at the same crossroads, and they were taking notes and everything like that. And they asked all the questions. Why are you walking? What's it for? And, you know, how many pairs of shoes does it take to walk across the country, et cetera, all those kind of things. And then they got down to the point. So tell me, why are you really doing this? What's it really all about? Aren't you here to convert people? You know? So the one guy says that, he asked that question, aren't you here to convert people? And the other, yeah, I was going to ask the same thing. I said, well, my answer was, and I think I was being diplomatic, I just said, well, listen, I don't really care what spiritual path you're on. Whatever it is, improve upon it and just respect the people who are doing something slightly different than your own path. So anyways, they like that. Those are the days you write things down, you know, pen and paper and stuff like that. And that was back in 96. And they always liked the line when I said, this is not a fundraiser. It's a friend raiser. Oh, I like that. I'm going to report that. Anyway, speaking of fun, spiritual life is meant to be fun. I was at a festival of Govardhan Puja, and we also had another reporter. Like, he came. This has nothing to do with the walk. But He was just looking at all the, you know, the flash and the flare and the colors, and everyone was happy and everyone was singing and dancing. And he said, because you know, he interviewed me for a bit, and he said, this isn't like going to church. Thank God. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, who gave us a fun approach. Susukam kartum avyayam, you know, one of the special verses from the Bhagavad Gita, Susukam. Rajavijya rajaguyam pavitram idam uttamam pratyakshavagamangdaramyam susukam kartum avyayam. On the second visit that I did to Cuba, because I go every year, I was just helping the devotees, the Cuban devotees, to memorize that shloka, something they could carry, take away with them, right? And remember. And so the final line out of the quadrant is susukam, happy, joyful expression, you know? And I think we mentioned this before. There are a lot of people who are classify themselves as religious, and when they're very fundamentalist, we call them fanatics, right? And I personally have no stomach for meeting with fanatical people who are religious. And there's a lot of fanatics out there under different categories. There's vegan fanatics. Have you ever met them? Holy, whoa, jeez. And so, yeah, fanatics, no. Fun addicts, yes, okay? Fun. We have fun in Krishna consciousness, and that's certainly what drew me to Krishna consciousness. I saw people up there at 4:15 in the morning. We had artis at 4:15 on the quarter of the hour. Can you imagine how fanatical that is? And they're jumping, and they're dancing, and they're singing, they're having a good time. Said, I think I like this place. Most people don't get up like that in the morning. Most people struggle like anything. Yeah. So the transformation takes place, you know. It's form and it's transitioning. That's what we're all, you know, really all about. That's what we want. We want a change. And it has to be deep. It has to become internal. And that's what the process is all about. The chanting, for instance, that we do is for purification. And it's also for fun. Fun is the secondary thing, right? I guess the most important thing is to get cleansed, because we become dirty for a long time. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains that for so long, it's been, you know, a compounding, you know, the dirt, the crap, has been going on for a long, long time, many, many lifetimes. So it takes something to, you know, to whatever you like, steel wool or, you know, something like really hard, like gritty, that's going to be able to do it. And that practice of grittiness is not so harsh after all. It's quite soft, in fact. You know, singing, praising the glories of Krishna, his names. It's not such a difficult task. It's quite, when people sing, in fact, it's a sign of joy. People are happy. I find people don't sing enough. Do you agree with me in that? You know, they don't sing enough. They curse a lot. They curse a lot, and they just don't sing enough, and they don't dance enough. You know, it's not part of the culture. Personally, I kind of like it when I go to some of these Latino countries. And everyone should be doing that. Of course, it's a little bit too sensual for, you know, making real progress. You go to some parts of India where, especially in the north, where they're really good. It's got to be the drum. It's got to be, what do they call that dance of the petting the dog and turning the light bulb at the same time, like that. But they're having a lot of fun. I do remember I was in Vrindavan, in front of Krishna Balaram Mandir, and it was during holy time, and there were people obviously had come on the train or had driven from Delhi, and you know, very grown people, you know, 50s, 60s, you know, sometimes people even quite large, And they're just having a good time. And they learn that from the devotees, from ISKCON. You do this thing and then you twirl around, you know. You know, you've all done that before, right? And then you might get thrown out. It's an accident. But, you know, having fun before Krishna. And it is a very far cry from some traditions where you stand there like this. Have you ever seen those kind of people? And I've been in kirtans like that, and I've seen people that this is their sort of usual pattern. I go to them, you know, we actually have enough pillars in this building. So, and then they break into a smile, and you have to pull them in, you know. Everyone needs a push, right? Everyone needs a little bit of a love shove, you know, to get them in that circle, that place of, you know, just letting go of all your, whatever is facade-ish for you, whatever air you have put out there, whoever you fashion or model after, you know, you just got to give it up. You got to be a free spirit. Somebody like Narada Muni, he's in, he's out. You're not going, are you?
I
got to
pick up my grandma.
Oh, yes, yeah, sure. How do you do that hair? It's always there. How do you... we love Narada Muni. He's one of our favorite personas, you know, in the Vedas, you know, because he is such a free spirit. He's in and out. And, pardon me? Oh, really? Okay. All right, we can talk about that later on. But, so Narada is like that. And I mentioned to somebody yesterday, there is a waterfalls in the state of Washington, and it's called Narada Falls. Mm-hmm. And it's got quite the height. And I went up there with Manoram and Shirade, and we went up there with the bus tour. We went all the way to the top of the mountain, and we had quite a few Floridian kids with us. They'd never seen snow before. And it was up at the top of the mountain. Now, sort of midway, there's this waterfalls, and it's called Narada Falls. And I just had to check it out. There's a plaque there, and it was confirmed. This falls is named after a Hindu mystic. And it's not a mistake, it's a mystic. You know, it was real. I felt so good about it. And, you know, we managed to walk right, me and this other candidate for sannyas, I forget his name now, but we went right down to the bottom of the mountain. But so, what about Narada? Oh, he is like, well, he's a great informant, I guess you could say. He, as Prabhupada puts it, accelerates the leelas, the pastimes. He gets it going. No beating around the bush. I'm not waiting around. Things have to happen. He's also known to be very, something we can all learn. If you're going to say something, be succinct, to the point. You know, be very precise, which he does. And that's all because he was cursed by Daksha, right? Daksha had a group of, you know, he fathered many children. And he had a group of boys, and he wanted them to get their mindset so that you're going to get married. I got married. I'm having babies. You're going to have babies too, okay? And Narada Muni has a different kind of mindset altogether. He says, oh, no, it's single life. That's the way to go, you know? Save yourself all the trouble, right? And that's his mood. So Narada Muni did give some lessons to the first batch of sons by Daksha, and he was quite upset because the boys were not complying with what daddy wanted, right? So that happened once, it happened twice, I think thrice, the third time, usually three times and you're out. I love baseball, by the way, three strikes and you're out. So then it was determined by Daksha, you're getting out of here, I'm going to curse you, you will not be able to spend time in any one place for a long time, not long enough to give a serious seminar. So then Narada Muni you know, took that to heart and said, okay, that's my curse. And Srila Prabhupada also expressed that I was also cursed. I was cursed by my my disciples' parents. That's why I'm always traveling. I'm cursed by their parents. Does anybody remember, were you around during the days of deprogramming and that very exciting time? You were around? Oh my God, Hare Krishna. Yeah. It was very exciting though. And that was the fun of Krishna consciousness. These days, it's a little bit bland, you know? In the early days, there were some scandals, and they do pop up here and there. And they have to be under control. We have to have, you know, some like control systems, put the brakes on some of these things that happen. Of course, it's really important to be proactive, so there won't be scandals. we have to act in goodness, like we talked about that yesterday, sattva-gun, thoughtfulness. You have to plan things. You have to put policies in place to protect, to offer protection and safety for children and, you know, seniors and matajis and all that animal, everybody practically, right? So that's what it means to be proactive, to have these these rules and laws which are there to protect. It's better that, to be proactive, otherwise you'll be reactive. Oh my God, we didn't know that was going to happen. Well, why didn't you know? How long have you been living in this crazy world, you know? So better to be in goodness than to be in passion. Am I right about that? Okay. And if you're going to be passionate, like say if you want to have babies, then it should be regulated through some kind of avenue of sattva-gun, again, you know, intelligence, do things intelligently. And when it comes to ignorance, is there a room for ignorance in Krishna consciousness? Well, to some degree. How many people sleep at night? Okay, that's kind of an ignorant state, right? Unless if you're an owl, you know. but how do you sleep in a sattvic way? Well, prepare again, plan yourself, channel it through sattva-gun. Perhaps read Krishna book. In the old days, it was hot milk and popcorn, and you read Krishna book. How many people around in those early days? Popcorn and hot milk with some sugar in it. Yeah? Okay? And reading Krishna Katha. That was a nice way to go to bed at night. And then you wake up in the morning and you offer obeisances to your presiding deities, to the Guru, Namo Om Vishnu Padaya, etc., Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. And this way you start your day on a good note, you know. So even those things that tend to be of the energy of tamas or rajas, they can be channeled through sattva-gun somehow. Yeah. So that's important. The topic, the theme here is about transformation. It's about a change, a healthy change. And I think everybody wants that, you know. We're not doing devotional service for change, as in, you know, coins. We're doing executing bhakti so that we can have we can evolve. We can evolve into something greater. And one scholar said, I do not believe in the theory of evolution as explained by Darwin, where it is said that from an ape comes a human, because I haven't seen the transformation yet. Everyone's still pretty much an ape. That's what he was trying to imply. Anyway, some apes are nicer than human beings. Am I right about that? Is it true? There's just some pretty foul, beastly. It's not my word, beastly. Prabhupada, beasts, there's beasts out there. You know? With a beastly mentality and beastly habits, you know? And they are features of Kali Yuga. They are, you know, it's astounding, in fact, what some human beings will do. And again, there has to be policies in place to protect people from such incredible creatures. You know? And there are unfortunates. And Krishna certainly reminds us that during his time as a child, there were a lot of beasts coming out, you know, a lot, like every day. Every day a new one was assigned by you-know-who, Kamsa, right? And Krishna dealt with each one of them expertly. It might be his fist. It might be whatever else, you know. He could just swallow, you know, someone, a kick, a throw. Everybody knows Yamuna Devi, you know, our dear god sister. She lived in Canada for a while at Sharanagati, and she was explaining to me, Prabhupada showed her how Krishna dealt with Dhenukasura. Everyone knows the ass demon. And she demonstrated like this. She was copying Prabhupada, he said. I won't forget it, but so Krishna's dealing, he's got different ways of handling all these beasts, you know. And there's a beastly side to all of us, and I guess Krishna's really, he can handle us roughly, or he can do it in a soft approach. It's really up to us. Really, I think that if you follow the codes of bhakti and the regulations, Krishna's going to be easy on you. You know, just like some people pray for. I was at a baby shower the other day, actually, 3 days ago. It was the first time I've been around for a half a century. And it was the first time I went to a baby shower. Of course, people don't think about asking a swami to go to a baby shower. But it was really sweet. The couple implemented this baby shower kind of tradition as done in Bengal. It was really nice. The step-by-step procedure was really sweet. And but one of the blessings that they were trying to conjure up was that the labor would not be tough, would not be hard. You know, that's one of the hopes for a couple like that. So we all have to go, correct? We all have to leave this world. 100% mortality rate, yeah. And but how you go, we do give some thought. If I'm going to go, it's got to be quick, right? And this morning I was walking. I remember Kalyapani. You know, we were good friends, and for him it was fairly quick. That little corner, in intersection where it all happened. He was driving it with some speed in his motorbike and. Someone backed out. Have I got the story right? Yeah. So it was fairly fast. Within minutes. Yes. Haribol. Thank you. And you did the right thing, right? Chanting and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, so for some people it's going to be very quick, abrupt, and for others it's going to be a long, drawn-out, painful situation, you know? And I think that's one of the worst forms of karma that can come to anybody. Long, drawn-out, slow death. Oh, gee. Better to be a warrior who gets his head blown off, you know, during the battle. But, you know, it's tough. It's tough to carry on. And it's hard to see. I just want to say something. Every time, every year I come here, right? And every year that I come, there's a lot of people bent over just a little bit more. And I come the next year, it's like this. The next year, it's down a bit more. So it's all inevitable what's going to happen to us. And I think the most, they're offering a base in slow-mo. But really, what's important is our consciousness, our state of mind. You can be in a lot of pain, but if you're in the right consciousness. But Srila Prabhupada had a difficult time also, you know. I mean, he absorbed a lot. He took a lot of karma. He took a lot. He absorbed a lot of our nonsense, you can say. And, you know, on behalf of people, his disciples. And so we try to make it as comfortable as possible for him. And that's the right thing to do. I mean, his consciousness, his state of mind was just paka. It was just perfect. Nothing's tarnished there. But, you know, that the pain that he went through concerned us, you know. It drove our emotions in the right direction. I mean, people get emotional about all kinds of things. We saw somebody who was having some emotional breakdown because of the news that her mom was having cancer. I mean, we definitely have to have feelings and we can express them. There's nothing wrong with that at all. We are sentient beings, so we must express these things sometime and not be like a pillar. Yes, some people have a very wrong idea about spirituality. And it's just that what drives devotees into their evolution is the fact that everything's Krishna-centric. I'm suffering, but I'm doing this, you know, on behalf of the Lord. So everything's on behalf of Krishna, and that is... That's set for in our culture, in our Krishna consciousness. Yeah. Good. So other than that, we just have a good time. There's lots of enjoyment. We are always having a party. Every day there's a party in this community, I think. Am I right about it? Yeah. There's a party somewhere, right? And because of, you know, and it should be like that. The spiritual realm, Krishna's world, is without flaw and is full of joy, as we expressed before. So that's Mahaprabhu's touch also. Wherever he went, it was full of joy. And this is a new fad. But, you know, I do browse through Instagram and... when devotees put out some stuff, it's a little embarrassing. I think I expressed that yesterday, the way some of them dress and the way we do some things. It's a little bit, oh, really? Is that my culture? Oh, my God. But devotees always appear to be happy, you know? They're always smiling, as crazy as or as nutty as it comes across sometimes. Devotees are in a happy frame of mind. So I think that's really important. From hippies to happies and from punks to monks, you know. This is the way it is for Krishna consciousness. And it should always be that way, you know. Now, the first time I ever came here to join Manaram with this bus tour, you know, he invited me, you know, to help with the dramas and to be with the young persons on the bus. So the one thing he said, the purpose of this project in the buses to travel around North America is to have the young people have fun in Krishna consciousness. So, and I thought, well, I get it. I understand that, you know. Who wants to join something that's drab? I mean, apart from seeing all the beautiful scenery and seeing all the things that Prabhupada has done, you know, all the temples that he's raised and been maintained and so on like that. It's very exciting for a young person, you know, who's cut himself off from, you know, the apron strings, you know, mom's apron strings. I'm going to be on my own. I'm going to experience some independence. But in that experience of independence, one gets to see and do wonderful things. And the most important thing that I've seen, the greatest harvest out of these trips, you know, across North America, whether it's the U.S., Canada, or Mexico, is that they've built up friendship. And I remember when it was time for some of these young members to leave. They had to go back to school, so they had to leave the bus tour early. You know, and so they would embrace each other, right? And So I was seeing this. I was going about my business, doing something else. I come back a half hour later, and they're still hugging. They didn't move an inch. So they appreciated each other's sangha. Now, if you want to go for transformation, I think that's the key. The key thing is sangha. It's just one word. And now that's clear from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's directives. You know, that's the key thing. That's what's going to make all the difference in your life. You have the right association. You have the most encouraging people on the planet to be with, especially in Krishna consciousness. And so that's something to keep in mind. Not to fly solo, but to have a passenger or on board, or maybe you're the passenger, you know, on this journey to go back home, back to Godhead. So really this is what it sums up to be. Get good company, get good association. And what about, there are some devotees who are sort of a thorn on the side. Have you ever met those? They're a little difficult. Like, I remember Tamahar doing these seminars about, okay, how to deal with difficult devotees, right? They are there, but if you are, I guess you have to learn how to dance in this world. Hare Bol Prabhu, it's so nice to see you. Please accept my humble obeisances and just keep moving along. But if there is an opportunity to be with someone who's a little bit of a pain in the neck, then opportunity for some tapasya, austerity. Learn how to deal with difficult circumstances. Be diplomatic, be nice, regardless. Prabhupada was like that. He had to tolerate a lot. That's how you grow. That's how you get thick skin, right? Dealing sometimes with difficult people and difficult circumstances. That's what makes you strong. Yeah. So we are social animals. We can't manage, most of us don't like to be alone. Maybe for an hour or so, and that's about the limit. And then I got to be with somebody, got to talk to somebody. I got to express myself to someone. So that's the way it is. So Sangha, really the way to advance is through Sangha. It's more important than chanting Hare Krishna. Okay. Now, I'm saying this, and you propose, what, this Maharaj, he said, there's something more important than chanting Hare Krishna. Why, Asia, tell the GBC, you know, put him on probation. Okay. So the reason why I say that is because you can have the holy name and you can be under a tree. You can chant Hare Krishna all you want. How long have you been chanting under that tree? You can do tree hopping too and take that mantra with you. But if you don't have the sangha, you're finished. Kaput. So the idea is that where there is Sangha, there will be the holy name. And it's going to be there automatically. So you got the best scenario, the best situation. Okay, so thank you very much. I understand we're going to be going through this second paragraph here with this verse also, you know, looming in the atmosphere. And so we'll, you know, deal with that at that time when it comes. Now, we're at that point where you can express yourselves. Yes, Mataji, questions or comments, or if you liked something, say it. If you didn't like something, also say it. And you can tell the GBC.
Hare Krishna Bhakti Marga Goswami Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances.
Please accept mine. I will do it if you
so accept. Happy to see you here in person. And I just wanted to, do my appreciation, because I really appreciate what you and Anuttama Prabhu do every year of putting together the mantra retreat.
Oh, yes.
My husband, who's in front of you with the glasses, like it, yeah, that
yes.
One.
I knew you. Washington was. New York. Okay,
yeah.
Yes.
So it just makes such a difference. I see the difference in him every time that he comes back from doing the retreat. And I.
Oh, yeah.
and talk about what you just said, that transformation comes from Sangha. And I really see that through the retreat. So I really hope that you continue that service if at all possible, because
we
it's amazing.
When I did walk across the U.S., I was in the state of California, and Anutama was very kind enough to join me, like for 4 days. He's a real gentleman. He is a gem in our mm-hmm. movement. I just have to tell you that, you know. Basically, he was the only person that said thanks for walking in our country.
Yeah.
He was the only person, honestly. You
know? And honestly, and that actually segues into my question. So I wanted to ask if you had any plans of walking in the U.S. again, because a lot of people are feeling very inspired. There's a set of Buddhist monks that are currently right. walking from Texas to D.C. for peace, and right. they even have like a... They have a representative from India of Aloka, a dog that they like adopted from India that's walking with them. And people are really getting moved by that. And as yes. soon as I saw that, the first thing I thought about was you, like the first person. And I was just like, I wish that there were more Vaishnavas like doing something like that, because I do think that it's obviously something that people are craving because of the reaction that people are having to these monks. So I just wanted to know if you had any plans. Thank you.
Well, I just finished walking the Netherlands. And, you know, it's not the size of the USA. It's very small and it's flat, so I liked it. And my ancestors are from there. So, but the story was great. The newspapers took it up. It took 8 days to walk the country.
Wow.
And 11 significant publications came over. People, reps that came to see me, and they did an article, 11, that's pretty, it's a high score. And they were just termed, Canadian monk walks the Netherlands to explore his roots.
Oh.
They're so charmed, it's such a positive thing. Now, so after I walked the US, I had to change my knees. I had to talk about transformation. Yeah, I had to, one guy came, and the second one, and so we did that. Talking about doing it, the U.S. again, I'd have to do it in little pieces if it's realistic.
And maybe you can train some younger Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis to kind of carry on that legacy. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Did we? Oh yes. So in terms of the. Anutam and I were walking one day, that was back in 2017, I was finishing the walk, and we thought, you know, Anutam, you know, there's something that a lot of the girls are getting a lot of attention these days, you know? People feel a little guilty that women have been neglected. So, well, don't forget the other half also, you know, because that seems to be the trend, this pendulum swings this way and that way. So I thought that in our movement, because there are a lot of misconceptions about relationships in the movement. And I thought, in order to build, you know, healthy attitudes towards women and women towards men, it's good if we had do something for the guys. So we came up with this idea for the mantra retreat. And it works. And it's the highlight for me. We have the best presenters. And we come out feeling just so rejuvenated, you know, that's great. And if any of you who are eligible, Vish, we need you to come. This 1 year, you gotta come on. It's transformative. And it does really give what it produces what it's meant to do. Yeah, I feel very good about it, very nice. In fact, we just put out a couple of music videos about, we can put one up there maybe tomorrow if you like, for just a 4 minute thing. But thank you for the encouragement. It's nice to get the feedback, right? Guys matter, you know? Underrated, you know? And it's the flaw of our culture, you know, the world in which we live. I mean, everyone's important. And everyone plays a part in it. And that's, I think, what comes out of these sessions, these retreats. Thank you very much. And yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, why do you walk? What's the walking about? I understand you do it for peace, but how does it? What's the walk? What does the walking do?
What does the walking do?
Yeah.
Okay, many things. Initially, I was the first walk I did was to celebrate Prabhupada's 100th anniversary, had he been with us, his centenary. So that was one thing. And also, it was a very, 1995 was a tough year, you know, as Rahu and Ketu planets were influencing me. So I felt I had to do something a little different, you know. And I said, I want to be a real Swami. That means travel, meet people, have fun, you know, and eat nice food, not rich temple food, you know. I want to rough it up. I want to, you know, sleep in a tent at night and, you know, meet the bears and dance with the moose. Honestly, I want to do all those things. I wanted to see things up close, you know, the way it was done in the past. And then get a chance to meet, go to temples and meet people along the way who are kind of isolated and, you know, suffering a little bit from not being near a temple or something like that. So for all those reasons.
Wait, but
and I'll tell you one more thing. 1995, 96, there was a lot of, it was the first time there was reporting going on that we had child abuse in the movement. You know, it was very apparent. I think it was in the New York Times, which is usually a pretty fair publication, perhaps the most famous publication enterprise in the world. Yeah, and so on the front cover of the newspaper said, Clinton, you know, the president at the time, said he was caught, you know, with, you know, hanky-panky stuff, okay? Let's put it that way. And then on the other side of the page was Hare Krishna's admit to, you know, this is one of Anutama's geniuses, you know? I mean, he's honest, he's fair, says, we got the problem. Problem's there, we're trying to deal with it. So there's honesty there. There's honesty on one side of the paper and dishonesty on the other side. Yeah. So I felt, you know, I think I want to get out there. I want to get some good news out there. And if people ask any questions about this issue, I'll have a chance to respond. Well, nobody asked. But what did come out of it is that people expect monks to do these kind of things, to walk vast tracts of land and get out there and connect with people. You know? And that's why, those are some of the reasons why I did it. And now I have stories to tell.
Nityananda Prabhu did.
And I wrote a book about it.
Lord Nityananda Prabhu did that. From yes. Bengal all the way to West. That's thousands of miles.
I got inspired
and
by
then
Nityananda
went to Vrindavan.
I got inspired by Vamana Dev.
Yeah.
I got inspired by Vidura.
Yes.
You know, who he was dishonored. He said, I'm just going to go for a walk. I'm not going to take this anymore, this nonsense from Duryodhan. So in some way, there was some attempt to dishonor me. And I said, I'm not going to take this. I'm just going to get out of here then. I'm not going to give up my practices in Krishna consciousness. You know, I'm just going to do the sannyasi thing. And then after I did the first walk, I got addicted. We're talking about addictions. Says, I think I have to do this again. Like, I started from Vancouver Island, and I went all the way over to Newfoundland, you know, close to where the Titanic sank. And then on that last day, I said, something doesn't seem right. You know, I finished the walk, but something just doesn't register right. And I just thought, I think I have to do it again. Yeah, right. Yeah, so we did. And then I did it again. You know, one of the walks I did in honor of Bhakti Tirtha Swami when he passed away. That was my third walk. And then the fourth, that was just time to do it again. Yeah, every few years. So anyways, the Netherlands was the Netherlands was, it was wonderful. You know, just have to watch the bicycles. Their bicycles rule there. It's quite ridiculous, you know, like we're used to, you know, you can fling your arms anywhere, like except for this road here. This is like death row. But there you just have to watch, you know, is the bicycle coming? But I miss North America, you know. I went out the whole time. I meant there were no squirrels. There's so many nuts on the ground. There's not one squirrel to eat them. I miss my bears and the skunks and the squirrels and the raccoons. And, you know, it's just, I mean, it's really just a whole magnificent experience out there. It's so much adventure. If you want adventure, go for a walk.
What about prasadam?
If you want to get bored, just stay in a car.
Maharaj, what about food?
What about food?
Did you have enough?
Myself and my support guy, we did learn about how to cook some of the wild vegetables that are out there. We cheated and added some potatoes to it. But I mean, you know, it was a learning curve, again, on this level, you know, what you can eat. Yeah, so that's how we did it.
I disagree.
The menu is like at around 10 o'clock in the morning after having walked a few kilometers. Sorry, I'm more into the kilometer. Only Americans are behind. Sorry about that. No offense. I love you, but, you know, you're behind. Okay. Yeah, after doing a few kilometers, like doing a good half of my quota for the day, we'd have wraps. Just have wraps. And then khichdi later on. Or pasta. One of the two. Oh, son, it's the best food, you know, like camp food. Oh, it's the best. And keep it simple. Everything in one pot kind of idea, you know, instead of, you know, there's some, when you're a sannyasi, the problem is everybody wants to please you. Like when you go to Fiji, there's like three massive trays, and on each tray there's, you know, 25 katoris. With something different, and they're there to please you. And I said, I'm really not that interested, you know. But you have to be nice to everybody. And when they're not looking, give it to the brahmachari that's with you, right? And then you turn your plate, the bowl upside down to make a statement, right? And you turn everything upside down after all. And then even the fork and the spoon. And then still you might have to go like this. And they said, now sweets. Sweets are coming now. Sweets. This is one of the downfalls of one of the challenges for sannyasi. Sweets, sweets. No sweets.
Did you keep track?
My mother died from diabetes, and it's hereditary. And then they back up.
What is your average daily mileage? Did you keep track?
When on the first two walks that I did, it was 42 kilometers average. That's marathon.
42 I didn't know kilometer?
That. Yeah.
Every day?
26 miles.
Wow.
Yeah. I've slowed down, though. Is that okay?
I don't know if I can do that every day, but I'll be...
If there's anybody in the community here is willing to do marathon walking, you know, to promote, you know, higher consciousness, let me know. I'll give you some tips. Okay. I think we're at the point of, so I think we should honor it. And I want to thank you very much for coming. There's a bigger group today than yesterday. But yesterday was Monday, right? Like the mamas and the papas, Monday, da, da, da. Okay, thank you so much. Panchakalpatrubhyascha nivasindrubhyevacha patitana pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.